So from a personal perspective, it's not a case of off the shelf. It's a case of we do the same things across the board for our clients, but we might slightly personalize them to the needs of the client. So usually we might say, well, look, Graham, you know what it is actually, because I've got the kids, the idea of meetings at this time doesn't really work for me. Would you do them then? And also how my brain works. I love to have an agenda. I love to have a follow-up email and this, that, and the other. Whilst we that might not be the standard approach for us, we'd always look to support you in terms of doing that because everybody learns different. And that's a bit where it brings the personal blend back to something for which clients are paying us for our expertise and our knowledge to know how best things should be done. So it's a compromise, it's a relationship game, not a transaction game.
You're listening to the Bookkeepers Podcast, sponsored by Xero.
I use Xero's accounting and bookkeeping software to manage my clients' accounts, and I love it. If you haven't tried it yet, head over to Xero.com with an X, and you can either start a free 30-day trial or sign up to Xero's partner program to join their amazing community of forward-thinking accountants and bookkeepers.
Hi, and welcome to the Bookkeepers Podcast. I'm Zoe Whitman. I'm here with Graham Tennant from Tennant Accountants. How are you, Graham?
I'm really good. Thank you much, Zoe, for having me on there today. And apologies, I'm jibber-jabbering in the background. As I say, I could have chatted for half an hour before we even started this. Yeah, whip us into shape.
It'll be good. I love a chat, so it's all good. Well, I haven't got Joe anyway, so not that, like, Joe will be missing out as well. I mean, if it was all three of us, we would be here all day, so maybe we'll do that another time, marathon podcast session. But it's really nice to chat to you, Graham. I know, like, we've met at events and things in the past, and we've got a lot to talk about in terms of the support that bookkeepers can give to accountants in the world as well. So I'm really interested in your views on this kind of relationship, but I wonder if you could just start by telling me about who you are, what you do, how you got started, please.
Okay, right. Where did I get started? Well, from a wee young nipper, I'll just say as a baby, young child, etc. Maybe it's a bit of a northern term. I've been surrounded by business owners. My dad had a forklift truck business, completely unrelated, but my passion first and foremost started with business. But when I was kind of studying everything else around, that was a case of what do I do? It just didn't really, I thought, well, I'll do accountancy. It kind of like some sort of finance related studies seemed like a logical step to kind of go down that path. My dad bumped into somebody in a bank. They had an accountancy firm and they said, does he want to come in over the summer? I went in, that progressed. I then got offered a training contract. And that's how I first entered the world of accountancy. I was there for 5.5 years, worked at PwC for a couple of years after that. So I hit a bit of a buffer in the small accounting firm. I then went and worked in the public sector, whereby, Zoe, you did say I couldn't swear, so I won't swear, but I'll just say it was full of issues. We'll just say that. Okay, yeah, quite politely.
I worked in the public sector for a long time, so be careful.
Zoe, I had hair the length of yours when I started in the public sector. Look at it now. So I was there for a couple of years, then I set up the firm back in 2012. We'll delve into a lot more detail about the firm, but just to kind of give a whistle stop in terms of journey, because I think it adds a lot of context for what we're going to more than likely go on to. I replicated the firm I'd first trained in. So back in 2012, the cloud did exist, but I didn't really adopt it because the awareness wasn't quite there. So I replicated a more historical-led firm, but always had the personal touch and personal element side of things. I recognised in a few years that as we grew, profits were eroding. I was like, we really need to get on board with this cloud thing. So we initially committed, I might get called out for this, part two, Sage and Xero. Again, let's not show any favouritism yet, but I do prefer Xero. We then really accelerated the software journey, invested heavily and badly at times because it wasn't done in the right sort of way. We then whipped ourselves into shape, so we won the 2020 UK Digital Accountant of the Year Award. So we started getting things right. A little thing called COVID happened, changed things again. And then we almost went back to basics with regards to my initial passion, the passion of the team, and where we are today, where we bring the balance with regards to the technology and the human touch to make a long-lasting difference to business owners. And that's a very whistle stop, but I'm sure you're going to probe me in terms of certain bits, so I'll shut up at this point. So, and I've said before, don't be too gentle. Go for it. Go for the throat. I'm ready. I know it's Valentine's Day, but there's no love lost. Go for it.
Thank you for that. It's really helpful. And I think it's good, like, we speak to people who've got all sorts of backgrounds, and, you know, it sounds like you've had actually a very sort of direct route into practice. And, you know, like, it's the kind of route that lots of people think, actually, it's the kind of route that people think, oh, I wish I'd done that, or I should have done that. If I really wanted to take my business seriously now, I should have followed that route, but I haven't. Therefore, I'm not worthy. And I know, I think you'll disagree, but how the technology and human touch is really interesting, because this is changing again. Like, AI is changing things again now. So the cloud obviously was a journey for you in your practice. Yeah. Now we've got AI, which is changing everything about technology and the cloud. Yeah. Like, how are you finding that your client base are open-minded to that as well?
It's a mishmash. So one of the main things for which I think, as society as a whole, we cannot ever just forget about the foundations and the background, the skill sets for which the bookkeeping and accounting profession is built upon. It's been great for a number of years. It is evolving. It's not to the point whereby we just get rid of that. We also have to reflect, as a parent like yourself, Zoe, we know what it's like trying to balance the ever-changing needs and challenges with regards to children and all of the noise around them and the education, everything else like that, combined with running a business ourselves. It's very difficult to maintain that focus, that direction, and that way of working whilst there's so much noise and distraction around us. So what I'd say really is different people are in different places of their own journey, but this goes back to something which I think people lost their way a little bit with during COVID. We are all human beings. Let's acknowledge that. Let's really embrace that. Let's work together to make a long-lasting difference, to make the world a better place long after we've gone. One of my biggest passions of the lot. But ultimately, unless I am chatting to you either like what we're doing there now in terms of this or face-to-face, an email alone and using all these different bits of technology in isolation will simply not cut it. There's also no one fast-track route to success, in my opinion. A route to success for you might be different to me, might be different to somebody else, but it doesn't make it any more right or wrong. And what we need to do as society is give everybody around us the best platform to be the best version of themselves. And that's something where when we first introduced technology, when we first started better embracing technology, it wasn't a case of railroading it like what we did at the very early stages. It was a case of, right, let's have a look at what problems we have, what problems this could fix, and the best ways in which we could go about fixing it, because it wasn't always working the same way with different people. So by way of doing that, we started by acknowledging the fact we've got two of these and one of these. So we listened to the team, two business owners, see, right, how best does this fit within you and your business? So we're trying to take on board that aspect and then build it around. Now, with certain people, it was just a case of, look, technology's not for me. It's never going to be for me. And at that point there, it's a case of saying, okay, well, can we make this mutually beneficial and work for both parties? If not, let's part ways. Life's very short. I'm sure there's plenty of other people out there that work in a different way to us, again, which is no more right or wrong than us, but they'll be a better fit for you. So in the words of Disney, let me help you find happiness elsewhere.
Nice. Yeah. And so we talk to bookkeepers all the time about niching and having an ideal client and a kind of client that they would like to work with that looks a certain way, particularly because if we know our client has this kind of business, or they use this kind of technology, or they deliver this kind of service, or have this kind of product, we can kind of we can create a service from our point of view, which we can replicate. And that streamlines things. It makes us really efficient. It means we know our clients inside out and we can benchmark them, and we can be really supportive and give great advice to our clients as well. Yeah. Does that mean that you have lots of approaches to working with your client base?
Yes and no. So first of all, with regards to the niche side of things, I've got a confession, and I said I was going to be honest at the time, Zoe. You might start getting nervous, thinking, like, Graham, what are you going to say? It took us close to 10 years to get anywhere near a niche.
Great.
And the reason for it being is because if you had a pulse, we'd potentially take you on as a client. Because during those early stages, we recognised the importance of it, but we didn't recognise it enough. And if I give anybody a tip with regards to niching, and this isn't necessarily going to help you define it in one fell swoop, but I can give anybody a bit of help with regards to defining a niche and getting started, is define who you don't want to be dealing with and define what you don't want to be doing and define the ways in which you don't want to be doing it. If you start with that aspect, it was the big light bulb moment for us to say, well, and again, this is just us personally, it was a case of, I don't want to be just doing tax returns because it requires huge volume for not a great deal of return. The relationship isn't really there. The way in which it's run is not great. You're stuck in January. I go skiing in January now. I don't focus on tax returns. But that was just for us. So in terms of the niche bit, wholeheartedly, yes, so, so important with regards to that bit. But it is often a case of trying to define what you're not to really step forward with regards to that. A really, really important part. I forgot your question now, Zoe. Sorry,
no, it's really good actually. And you know, Joe and I would say, if you work with us, that's where we start. Remove the clients that you don't want to work with, because that's the only way you're going to learn who it is you do. In an ideal world, we would wake up and be like, oh great, I'm going to work with these people because I know this really well. But that isn't the case when you're learning, and you do have to work with people to realize this isn't for me, or actually, you know, it would be better if I did it in this way. You can't know otherwise, can you? I was asking, does it mean that, because you were talking about some people hated the cloud when you adopted the cloud, some people hated it, didn't understand it, didn't want to be there, and you, I suppose, so there was probably people who were just ready for it and okay. Then you've got the people who are like, I know I have to, but I haven't really got the motivation to do it. And those people just need support to get there. And then you've got the people who are like, I'll never do that. And they're the thank you very much, we love you but goodbye. And so I suppose I was wondering, does that mean you work with lots of different businesses who have different needs, and does that, I'm not saying make you not effective, Gray, and that isn't what I mean, but does it add extra complexity to the way you deliver accountancy services to your client base?
Yes, it does add extra complexity. But where we start with the process now, having been more closely defined with regards to our niche, and it is a permanent work in progress as well, but we have and regularly revisit our client grading matrix. So with regards to our grade matrix, we look at this three ways. The first way we look at this, which is grade clients based on set criteria which we determine, such as are they profitable? Do they refer clients to us? Do we like working with them? And a few other aspects. The second level we'll go to is which package they're on, because we appreciate the fact that we might have some absolutely lovely clients, but if profitability-wise, they're never going to enable us to do in business what we want to do outside of business, it's just not really going to work. And then the third side of things, beyond the packages, is the specific profitability per client. So by way of having that, it's just a starting point, but it gives us some room to kind of understand where they sit on the profitability curve for us, at least we can track who sat where. But in terms of complexity, the complexity with regards to services, no, because we are very streamlined with regards to the services we deliver and the way we deliver them. If that doesn't quite work for a client with regards to our approach, there is slight alteration with the approach, which I'll share in a minute. If our approach with regards to things, they say, let's use something, say we've got a company and there is tax returns as part of that, which we would do, but wouldn't do tax returns in isolation. And the director said, no, I always like doing my last thing in January, and I'll always give you everything piecemeal when it suits me, and I'm not really fussed about you guys, I'm paying you a fee, and I should always be the priority. I'd say, hey, look, everybody's in Tetlerica in their way of working. Clearly that works very well for you. That doesn't work for us, so can I refer you to somebody else? And I would just cut it loose that way there. If it's somebody whereby they say, look, going back to your technology example before, Zoe, if they said, look, I'm not really kind of too up to speed with regards to, let's say, Dext. No favoritism applied. Again, disclaimer. But if say something to say, look, I'm not too keen with Dext, but would you like accept we're using HubDoc, or would you be all right if we dropped it in and you scan things through? Would be open to a conversation in terms of this. So where there's a great degree of compromise, whilst we'll go through the same broad steps in terms of getting them to the position where we want to. So don't have an open-ended list of services. It's very clear. You're either at the startup stage, you're at the growth stage, or you're at the exit stage. You're very much within one of those paths, which ultimately will lead to varying levels of work being done and varying levels of proactive support and involvement. but we did an exercise called Myers-Briggs quite a while ago. I know DISC is another one. So from a personal perspective, it's not a case of off the shelf. It's a case of we do the same things across the board for our clients, but we might slightly personalize them to the needs of the client. So you, Zoe, might say, well, look, Graham, you know what it is actually, because I've got the kids, the idea of meetings at this time doesn't really work for me. Would you do them then? And also how my brain works. I love to have an agenda. I love to have a follow-up email and this, that, and the other. Whilst we, that might not be the standard approach for us, would always look to support you in terms of doing that because everybody learns different. Some people have good, everybody will have a good day, they'll have a bad day. And that's a bit where it brings the personal blend back to something for which clients are paying us for our expertise and our knowledge to know how best things should be done. So it's a compromise, it's a relationship game, not a transaction game, if I can summarise it a little bit.
Yeah. And actually, you know, like, it's your business, you get to choose what it looks like. If you have a chat with a client and they're like, I, you know, love the sound of this, I definitely need it, but I can't, or I need you at the end of the meeting, I know I'm just not going to get those things done. Is there a way you can make sure that I do that or hold you account, hold me accountable or whatever, or I need a summary of the meeting afterwards. Yeah. I'm just thinking like you could, I was on a meeting with someone earlier and he's like, I'm just going to attach my Otter thing so it can take notes. And then I guess I'm like, yes, you can get a summary. Then no one has to sit there and write it. It's just thinking, how can we do this in a way we might not have thought about before? Because there's going to be a way. So, and then the client feels heard and supported. And, you know, the conversation, the topic of this podcast is how we're going to wow clients and those things actually can wow with not really any extra effort anyway.
And there's a brilliant book I was actually kind of taking extract from it this morning for an exercise with somebody. Have you read Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss?
No, I'll put that on the list though.
Oh, it is brilliant. So he's a former FBI hostage negotiator. So he chats about the stories, but he talks about different ways of approaching things. And there's a bit in there called the accusation audit. Wow. Which I was just going through because the client was really struggling with something. I was like, I think there's a better way you can approach this to try and get an amicable solution. And this again comes back to the whole Myers-Briggs psychology aspect of things to really try and embrace what best we're comfortable in doing. I mean, I read a book a month at least. I'm part of a book club. Again, feel free to call us out for it. I don't mind. But I tell you what it is, the value is tremendous. And when I read a book, I summarize the notes, I list out actions, and I go and do the actions. So I'm better off the back of the book. But those little bits there give me the confidence to have conversations like this, like what we're having there now with a client, to the point where even as recently as, I think it was about 6 weeks ago, a client said, look, I know we're moving across from the old accountant, but it just feels like the old accountant let us get away with everything. And you're letting them get away with it, just submit whenever you want, a half beep job done. And he said, look, life was just a little bit easier. I know what you're trying to do, but I'm going to go back. And I said, no, you're not. I said, because what they did is fraudulent and your investors are going to be on this. So we're going to do this right. You just need to do what you said you were going to do rather than going back to where you were beforehand and being in the same position 12 months time. I said, give her a little bit of time and we'll prove it. And within 7 days, we had an absolutely glowing LinkedIn post from them. We're saving £3,000 in VAT.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yes. And like change is hard. Change is hard. We like, we think I'm really motivated and I'm ready and I'm going to do this thing. And then we start to make the changes and then we look at it and we're like, oh my gosh, it's actually really hard to make the change. I want to go back. Yeah. And that's that really crucial point, isn't it? Where you jumping in and saying, actually, we're going to support, just reminder here, this is why we're here having this conversation. You don't want to go back. And let's just make sure we jump in and support you to get you where you need to be. That is that crucial point, isn't it? So, and I think with anything, you know, anything we've spoken about today, the cloud, new technology, doing something in a different way, because it's going to be better for them. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day and, you know, he's running a really successful business. And I was like, oh, you know, what software are you using? Oh, nothing. It's all on paper. What? Like, okay, you need to talk to your accountant. You need a bookkeeper. But I think people are so busy in what they're doing, running their business, that any extra change, anything new is like the thing that's going to push them over the edge. So we can get people where they need to be, but we need to have conversations with them at the moment they're most open-minded and ready to change because they're really stuck. And then we need to help them loads to get to where they need to. So what did you do with this guy? How did you, like, did you give him extra support? How did you make sure that he stayed with you?
I can be as brutal or as supportive as what I need to be. And the team, again, what I do is I specifically choose the team members to support clients based on the personality traits I've identified in the client. So alongside the team, we just whip them into shape. And sometimes it's just a case of telling home truths, just to say, look, you are the problem here. And they say, yeah, you're right. And again, just going back to the accusation, or it's a case of you might be looking now and say, right, okay, these guys are picking everything. These guys are adding workload to me. These guys, as say, are not make my life easier. They're making it harder, this, that, and the other. And I said, and that's absolutely fine to say that. And you might think we are bleep, 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 bleep. But I said, ultimately, what's our job? Our job is to keep you out of jail, to save you tax, to improve your cash flow, big thing, and to help you grow your business. Everything which we're looking to do, he is doing exactly that. So that's why you won't be going back to the existing accountant if you want to resolve the queries you previously had, and the team will help you do that. These are the bits which need to be done. You tell us the deadline you're going to be getting them, and we will hound you to make sure you do it, and we're hounded them. And I'm not saying it's a perfect fix, because I'm sure there's plenty of times people say, oh, this is a golden bullet. This, and it's not. Have we still got struggles with that same client? Yes. Have they got any temptation to move out their old accountant? Not a hope in hex chance. Wow. But it's something where it just takes that gradual approach. I mean, it goes back to, I was just reading the article again there, well, a related article, reference to David Braille's fad and the 1% incremental gains.
Yeah.
Well, can it change people overnight? But if we work on incremental gains to which we can embed and retain in a business and in a person, it makes fundamental changes. And one of the things I love about yourself and Joe is, and so many other great accountants and bookkeepers, and all personalities, the people I'm closest within the bookkeeping and accounting profession, we all have personalities. If we just let that out and let other people in, we can make such a huge difference. And it doesn't often require technology. Technology is just the enabler. It can support us to do things for which that's best designed in doing. But we weren't given personalities for no good reason. Let's use them. Let's have a bit of fun. Life's short.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love it. Tell me about, so some people might not have heard of Myers-Briggs, and I wonder if you can just explain that. Do you do this with your team and your clients, or is it just an internal thing? Tell me about that.
Yeah. No, so it was just with the team. So one of my clients does Myers-Briggs, and people might have been more like, no, have heard of DISC, but what it is, it does an assessment of you as a person. So it identifies your strengths, your weaknesses, and how you might approach certain things in life and work. So for example, I am ENTJ, so I'm more of an extrovert rather than introvert. I am really ambitious and really driven, but I can also be impatient with regards to things. I'm not as much a detailed person. I'm more of a concept person, ideas person. So what it does, it allows you to kind of recognize your strengths, and I'll say development points. I don't consider weaknesses. I'll say development points, but the bits which I'm strongest in, for which I enjoy the most, which I'm most comfortable in, and how best the team can complement me and I can complement them. Because one of the frustrations, and I hate to make reference to COVID, but I might as well. In COVID, as everybody, it was kind of a case of, why is the team not doing this? Why is this person not behaving in that way? This, that, and the other. But if you have somebody that loves a structured way of living life and work, and that structure's taken away, what do you expect? Of course, they're a little bit, I don't know how to work. Me, you could chuck me in a room full of strangers with no warning, no plan, and not knowing what to expect, and I'd actually find it quite good fun. Just a bit of a challenge in terms of conversation with strangers and having to kind of do a challenge I wasn't even prepared for. I was like, all right, let's go. But that's just me. And that aspect, it allows us to better understand ourselves as a team. But then off the back of it, so I've literally got a flip chart downstairs. You can put your letters against somebody else's. So you can see how best a message will be interpreted. So for some people, they say they would not like this. Some of my team wouldn't dare come on something like this. Other members of my team would absolutely love it. Members of my team hate confrontation. I don't really mind it, to be honest. And it's not all experience. It's just a case of I feel comfortable in that environment. They don't. And that's okay. So when I'm trying to position clients with people, the last thing I would want is putting a client with somebody who's going to follow everything up with an email, a really lengthy email. They say, look, I'm not a detailed guy. Just pick up the phone and tell us and I'll do what needs to be done. So it's trying to get that aspect to, again, bring out the best version of ourselves. But you've got to be open to it. I think a lot of people have got a lot of hesitations about it. And the team did when we first did it. The team were like, look, it's just another corporate exercise. You do it, tick a box, nothing ever happens with it thereafter. And I've had to educate them and tell them, say, no, we've done it. We've now got the books on it. We've now got the flip charts. And they still don't recognize it as much. I'm quite an aware person. So wears a lot of things around us. I miss plenty of things if you ask the wife as well. So let's just, I am perfect. I didn't forget Valentine's Day though. I did get a card and a lovely gift. but that awareness piece, trying to educate the team and saying, yeah, but that's why I might not do that. It does start to embed in, but it's got to be something done and really embedded in to take forward. Otherwise, it's an isolated, pointless exercise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't remember. Do you know what? I can't remember what I am, but I will at some point. But we did something similar with a group of bookkeepers when we went along. We ran an event last summer, and we ran an event at Moneypenny's offices. Yes. And they had their own version of this where they gave you an animal. And we found that Jill, who works in our, she's our member success coordinator, and she supports our clients. She's an owl. She's very detailed focused. Whereas I think Joe and I were both peacocks, is how they described it. We basically need to tell you a story before we get into anything. So it sort of set the scene. But it is very interesting. Oh, a panther. Cat's the panther. There we go. So there were these four animals, which I think was a sort of summarized version of Myers-Briggs. I think it is good to know from a team point of view, and you know, fantastic for when you're working with your clients to know, I'm going to respond in this way and we're going to grate against each other, whereas someone else would work really nicely with that person. So yeah, I thought it's fab.
It's funny though as well, because sometimes I think people are put off because they say, oh, well, I don't fit in that box. And it's a case almost like, forget about fitting into a box or kind of being this type of person. There's times when I'm an introvert, I just need space. I can talk for England, but times I just don't want to see or speak anyway because I just want a bit of process time. My brain just gets worn out.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. I know that feeling. Tell me about your practice. So how many people are in your team? And I want to understand from a business owner point of view, how much time you spend doing accounts and bookkeeping yourself, spend your time doing.
So we went up to 15 staff in COVID, then we repositioned ourselves, didn't make anybody redundant. It was just a case we moved clients on. And again, with staff, it was just a case it was no longer the right fit. So we have a team totaling 8 there now. Now, in terms of time spent doing accounts and bookkeeping and any client work, 5 to 10% of the week, maximum.
That is the right answer.
A little bit less than that.
Good. And so what do you really spend your time doing, Graham?
If you ask the team, they probably say they're not quite sure themselves. I spend time developing the business, growing the business from a strategy perspective. We had a discussion quite a while ago, and granted it's my name above the door, I have given some of the team shares in the business as well. But granted it's my name above the door, the business has to be less about me. So whilst I'll do things like this, because I love doing it, the clients love the team. It needs to be bigger than that. The team can add far more value than me in areas which I simply don't have the capacity or the skill set to do it. So I was like, that sounds great. Let's step away a little bit from that and start driving the business forward, because my skill set comes from my dad's skill set, is the sales aspect and the sales side of things. I see potential and creativity in businesses whereby the team, maybe some of the team, are less comfortable seeing it. I, like I said, from the confrontation, the accountability piece, I come from a big sporting background and also from my dad's forklift truck background, whereby I love a bit of accountability. I love the challenge in terms of those sort of things. So when I'm sitting down with a business owner and saying, look, where are you? Where do you want to get to? Let's help you get there. That is my sweet spot in terms of I can really get involved in that aspect to really see things business owners maybe aren't seeing, and help them ask questions and find answers to questions they never thought to ask. But that comes a little from the coaching side of things, because again, during COVID, I did a coaching qualification, and that's my big, big passion. Because I've seen what my dad went through. I've seen what my mum went through. I've seen what other business owners went through. That's what really gets me out of bed. That's what really drives me forward. But I cannot do that without doing the compliance element, the things which the team. So it's a match made in heaven with regard to team, because the team give the platform and can add value in the same area as what I can, but just not necessarily certain bits. Whilst the bits they do, I cannot do it as well as them. I just need to be out there. They just say, Graham, just get out. So that's the bit where I spend the time working with clients on the advisory. Let's forget the advisory journey. I don't like the term that. On the transformation journey, that's a better title, I think. Clients are willing to go on the transformation journey. that is where I can really make a difference. So for those clients that want that, great, supporting the team, again, where they're supporting clients' transformation journey and driving forward the legacy I want to leave behind by way of the business. Because I've got two daughters and I've got a sister. The Tenic name, it sounds a horrible thing to say, but unless the daughters are going to keep the name, the Tenic name will die with me. I am weary of that. That's why I'm passionate about keeping the name. I know people say, oh, you should never have your name. I'm passionate about that. That's why I want it there. I need to make sure the Tenic name is remembered for generations to come. And when I leave this world, I want my daughters, I want my grandkids and everybody to be proud of the impact we've made.
Oh, I love that. Oh, okay. If anyone wants to change their surname, you could help Graham out today. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Don't tell the wife it's Valentine's. I'm going to get into trouble here.
We don't do Valentine's in our house. So it's like, you're
right. Neither do I. We do cards and that's it. No presents.
Okay, right. There's so much there around purpose and the kind of conversations that I'm sure you're having with your clients, because you want to make sure that they remember why they're running their business as well. Can I just ask, this is helpful in terms, you know, I spend a lot of time talking to bookkeepers who are solo bookkeepers running their own businesses, and often, I'm sure you've read the E-Myth, often we start a business because we think, I'm really good at doing this thing, I'm going to go out and do some bookkeeping or whatever, and I'm going to start a practice and I'll do that all day and I'll be able to charge a bit more than I was earning in my job and everything will be great. But actually, like you've said, sales, and I believe sales and marketing and being the brand is the most important part of running a business when you're the business owner, and you need to bring the other people in who can replicate the skill set that you have that you will quickly move away from, because there are other people who can do that well as well. So what would you say to somebody who is on their own building a practice, in terms of how they would best spend their time, and when is the right time to bring somebody else in to your team, and how do you do that?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is you're amazing and brave, and give yourself immense credit for just thinking about or starting the journey. So stop beating yourself up, give yourself a bit of a cuddle, because it's a brave, exciting, tricky journey you're on, and regardless of what happens from this day forward, well done for just being at this stage. So I think that's the first thing I'd say to anybody. I don't think we'll give ourselves enough credit. I think the next thing you've got to recognize, it is very much a journey. So on that journey, please stop comparing yourself to others. Don't compare yourself to me or everyone else around you, because be the best version of you. I keep saying it, I drill it to everybody. Be the best version of you, because you may be better than me and think you've done well, but could have been a million miles better than me and fallen short. So please be the best version of you. When you're looking at your business, I would suggest always look backwards in terms of the journey being on and acknowledge that. But just think, what could this look like further on down the line? So I call it like a gap analysis. So you have a look and say, right, what's the gap? Acknowledge the gain from the past, but look at the gap in the future. What would that business look like? Once you've done that, because again, bookkeepers and accountants, I'm going to call that out, we're all a bunch of hypocrites here. So let's acknowledge that. We give great advice, but we often don't follow up ourselves. But once you've got that big goal there, start putting the steps in place to acknowledge, to say, right, how best could I deliver that? In what way could I deliver it? To who could I possibly deliver it? You'll have the knowledge there, and what knowledge you don't have, you will gain in time to say, right, okay, you know what, actually, I'd love to have a VA. Actually, I'd love to have several bookkeepers. Actually, I'd like to have several bookkeepers and a VA and a marketing person. But there's logical steps you can go through to accelerate getting there. So the stage I always say is, when you first start off, you're going to do all roles. Accept it, but it's a good way of making sure somebody doesn't run circles around you. So you get a bit of knowledge in terms of what you're going to win time. First, maybe get somebody to help, then obviously employ somebody. Embrace it. Don't beat yourself up when you get it wrong, because you're going to get a lot wrong. And I always say you often learn more from doing things wrong than you do things right. So you win or you learn. You only lose if you don't take the lessons from the mistakes. That's it. You then take that step forward when you can afford to, dabble your toes in the water. So what I did is, during the busier times when I first set up the firm, I got work experience people in. They're free. It's great. But it's experience them to ask for the experience, getting them in to help, give them something back. So I'm not saying about to say this only being one side. Give something back. Get them in. When you need little bits of help with things, such as your website, social media, things like that, because you kind of get somebody full-time, pay somebody or see if you can do something, as whereby it just kind of keeps costs down, but just dabble a little bit. once you grow again, you can maybe kind of get somebody more permanently to assist you with the bookkeeping or accounts work or the marketing bit. But it's just a stepped approach. And if things don't go quite according to plan, don't be afraid to take a step back. Like you say, it's a lesson learned rather than a failure. Just think, that didn't quite work. What am I going to do next? One of the big things people are discussing at the moment is a case of, oh, should I offshore, outsource this? And I'm just not doing it. We've all got challenges with regards to engaging with, let's just say, the right individuals outside our firm, be it contractors, be it employees. We're going to make mistakes along the way. We'll have to have an open mind, both in terms of people and technology. But just go through a logical step, but always be prepared to acknowledge the cost of it going wrong. I said the first, before I even set up the business, like, right, what's the cost of me massively making a huge mistake there? And I had 6 months to get it right when I first started up.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to think about it, actually, in terms of what could happen, and doing that forecast. Like, when we're working with our members, we always have a finance meeting every month, and we're like, what's the goal? What are we turning over now? Where do we need to be? How many clients do we need? And then, you know, we have to do our own finances as well. So make this part of the strategy time. And I can see why you need so much time doing the stuff where people say, I don't know what you're doing, but it's because you're doing all this, you're planning for the business. I should ask you about bookkeepers and how, as an accounting firm, I'd love to know, you know, when you were talking about outsourcing and getting support and, you know, work experience, do you as an accounting firm work with bookkeepers who are subcontractors? Because often we have a conversation, I'm not saying this as a, are you offering work right now? The reason I'm asking is so that someone who's thinking, I need more experience, maybe I should build a relationship with an accountant. I'd love to hear from you. Is that a thing? Do accountants look for subcontractors? And how does the relationship work?
Okay. Can I confess to something first, Zoe? Can I have your permission to confess to something? Okay. Yeah. Back in, I better get my years right here. Quite a long time ago, I want to say 2015, 2016, I didn't see the value in the bookkeeping process, to the point whereby I didn't, when I say see the value, I didn't see the financial value to make it a profitable activity for us as a firm. So we did not offer it. In terms of just like, I kind of see how it's going to work. I kind of see how clients are going to kind of make it work. Let's just take a step back and just let clients be responsible for their own things. This was still before fully embracing the cloud. And we'll just go forward because I didn't see the potential there. What a fool I was. Absolute fool. And again, it goes back to the hypocrisy of the whole thing. But again, I've been honest on this. I'm going to be honest again. What a plonker I was back then. What people don't realize, and it goes back to your question before in terms of the story, without the bookkeeping aspect of things there, everything else falls apart. And I tell you what it is, and again, I'm going to little insult for the accountant profession here. So again, as accountants, the relationship we have with our clients is not always close enough. Just about every bookkeeper I know has a brilliant relationship side of things. And if we could just merge we're all together, we could have a lovely bunch of people. Just like if we could just get those skill sets, it'd be great, because I don't feel as if the bookkeeping profession, which I 100% know now, recognises how capable and confident, how much of an impact it can really have. I certainly don't think the accounting profession recognises that without the bookkeeping aspect, they cannot do their job. That combination relationship is huge. And without that relationship with the business owner as well, it all falls down. Because how the heck can you do a set of accounts and a tax return if the records aren't right? I'm not interested in doing a half bleep job. We want to do a job correctly. We want to build a very close relationship. The closest relationship we have with clients, whereby they, either the business owner or ourselves, have a super close relationship from a bookkeeping perspective, or they have a bookkeeper either in-house or as a third person, as they're doing the bookkeeping outside of there. It is absolutely crucial. And I stand corrected years and years ago, by the way, so this isn't just a newbie. But the value, bookkeepers, you are amazing. You have huge potential. You have my full backing. And I would love to support the bookkeeping profession more to fix what I consider is a fundamental problem with regards to how we're supporting business owners. And that relationship is still broken, in my opinion. We have a huge role which we collectively need to fill, and I'm all in. If I can help, 100%. If that is giving advice, if that's giving opportunities, I'm in. Hence the reason I was so passionate when I spoke to yourself and Joe about being on this. We need to come together. We need to put things right because business owners don't value what they should be valuing, and it's leading to failure.
Mm.
I'm rocking that now.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. No, thank you. What happened then in 2016 when it changed for you and you suddenly went from, I guess, preparing sets of accounts for years before with the client doing their own bookkeeping? I guess you were obviously getting involved when you were doing the accounts.
Then
to you being like, oh my gosh, we need bookkeepers. Why have you changed your view?
Because nobody's going to change the world producing a set of accounts and a tax return, full stop. What's the point in telling somebody what's been rather than what could be? What's the point on literally, we're glorified tax collectors and giving no real insights in terms of what somebody's really achieved? You're going through a document for which many business owners don't understand, with numbers for which they don't get, charging a fee. It's almost kind of, I'm trying to think of the word that was used, it's almost like a forced transaction. Whereas ultimately, who went into business just to save tax? I've done social media posts before saying, yeah, we're holding a tax return party, record amounts of taxes paid by our clients. Whoop, whoop, yay, brilliant. And it's that aspect whereby people are often asking the wrong question. All right, yeah, how do I reduce my tax down? I'll say, well, didn't you say you want to go and hold it at the Disneyland, Florida? Yeah, yeah, so why don't you just suffer the tax and go to Disneyland? Oh, yeah, but I don't really want to pay the tax. I'm like, but just pay the tax and go there. Otherwise, before you know it, your kids are going to be 19 and they're gonna hate Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Just bloody well go. And it's that sort of aspect, just to really, really kind of say, guys, can we just get back to what's most important in life? And like I say, we're never able to make that impact. The value internally from us really enjoying our jobs, because we used to work ridiculous hours. The values from the job we were doing internally and the value our clients were seeing externally wasn't there. And this is still a huge, huge work in progress. And again, I've got to stress that point. I don't want anybody thinking, listening to this, to say, oh, Graham's got that. Yeah, see, it's perfect. This is an inconsistent approach to our clients, which we are working towards. One of my main driving forces, and I was working with the likes of yourself and everybody else listening there today and trying to build up those relationships. Say, look, we've got a far greater voice coming together than going in isolation. There's plenty of work for all of us, but I tell you, let's do something special. Let's do something creative and let's really, really put things right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're there for that. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Final question then before we wrap up. We called this episode How Bookkeepers Can Wow Their Clients.
Okay.
What's the top wow moment you've had working with a client and what should we be trying to do more?
Okay. This isn't one. It definitely isn't one. So I've got to go back a little bit before I do come back answering the question. My dad missed a lot of mealtimes and bedtimes because of the amount of time and effort he put into his business. And it's the same for so many other business owners out there. I don't mind admitting on the purpose of this, I nearly lost my dad. Where he worked long hours, a car accident with a drink driver. That's how precious life can be. Thankfully, he pulled through. Thankfully, he sold his business. And thankfully, he's able to retire when he wanted, how he wanted, with what he wanted in terms of that. Not everybody else is so fortunate with regards to that. So that's why my three passions are, one, helping people have more mealtimes and bedtimes at home with loved ones. Two, getting their business to a stage whereby they're proud of where it is and where they want it to be and have enjoyed the journey rather than just focused on the destination. And three, be comfortable in the knowledge if they were to die tomorrow, they've lived the life which they're proud of and left behind happy memories for their families. That is the bit which is so important to us, hence our 360 approach in terms of measuring firm impacts, client impacts, and world impacts internally. So we do all of that. So in answer to your question, but I thought that provided a bit of context, the actual overall piece, my proudest moment is one for us, because we walk the walk. So I'll start with us, then I'll start with a few client ones. I used to be one of those business owners that worked silly hours. I used to be in the thick of absolutely everything. I used to be the last one that got paid. I used to be the one that didn't get a market rate to pay, and I'm still working on that. We are going to Disneyland, Florida this year.
Yes.
Took the kids to Lapland last year. We've had them skiing a couple of times. I pick the kids up and take them to classes. I'm home for mealtimes, bedtimes, not all of them. So again, it's still a work in progress. But just being able to give the family a better life makes me super proud. And the team within Tenet Accountants have enabled me to do that. And again, likewise, I've done the same with them. So very rarely do we ever work. The team downstairs probably rarely work beyond 40 hours a week if they're full time. Myself might be 45-ish, but it's still not too bad. Client impact, we've sent, well, not personally sent clients, but we've allowed, given clients the platform to replicate some of things we've done. So be it Disney and the team as well, by the way, some of the team have done this as well. Disney, Lapland, one of our clients now working 4 days a week. One of our clients, I think they started on £70,000 a year, now on £200,000 a year. Another client is, say, plays golf every Friday rather than working. Moving houses, cars, retiring early. I could give you lots of different ones, but it's all personal to them. And that relationship where we've got it, we're actually building out, it's not quite built yet, but we're building out an impact wall in the office.
Yeah.
So all of these impacts are going to be put on the wall. We're going to have the clients sign them.
Oh, I love that.
So sorry, I didn't give you one, but I think it's a good way to context in terms of it's all relative to individual clients. And all of them I'm really super proud of.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That is exactly why we run businesses, right? Like the reason anyone watching this started their business was because they wanted something different. And you know, you get to choose what that looks like, but you have to keep remembering it so you can, you know, make it happen, because it's too easy to get drawn into all the other things, you know, all the things, when actually a lot of them aren't really going to make any difference. No, I completely agree. I don't, you know, the sort of backstory of my husband wasn't very well last year. He's resigned from his job. He's going to be at home. He's got to make a business work. But it is like knowing that he's here and that we as a family get to spend time. It's the number one, you know, earning what you need to earn, working around the children. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, I love all of the values you stand for, Graham, and thank you so much for like, all of the advice you've been able to give as well, you know, as an accountancy practice owner. For the people who were here listening, thinking, I've got these goals, I think it's been so helpful. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. And we're all alike. I'm here to help. I'm here to share. Thank you for having me. Thank everybody for listening. And like I say, if I can help anybody whatsoever, I'll always do my utmost to do so. But yeah, push boundaries, be the best version of you. And we've only got one life. Live it. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Thanks, Graham. How can people connect with you?
I would say LinkedIn's probably the channel I'm most active with regards to. If you want to send me a direct message and connect with me on then, please feel free to do so. Alternatively, feel free to drop me an email. So it's Graham, G-R-A-E-M-E, at Tenick, as behind, TNNICK.co.uk. But yeah, LinkedIn, I mean, again, send us a message to the website. But yeah, LinkedIn, email, probably the two best means to get hold of me. And like I say, if I can offer any insights and if we can collaborate in whatever shape or form suits, I'm keen to continue the mission of making the business world better.
Lovely. Thanks, Graham. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And we'll see you next week for another episode of the podcast. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Bookkeepers Podcast. Why not join us in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club at sixfigurebookkeeper.club or visit our website, sixfigurebookkeeper.com.